Hey Solomon, this is J. Rosemary. Are you tired of feeling overwhelmed and alone? I know when my children were younger, there was a lot of times I felt alone. That's why I started Solomon's Talk, this podcast. But you're not alone. You don't have to parent alone. And I keep repeating it because it's something that it seems we are convinced that we are alone. But reach out to me. I'm here for you. I can talk you through anything that's going through your mind because believe me, I've gone through some stuff. You can tell from listening to these podcasts that I empathize with you and I understand and can connect with what's happening with you. So click the link below and book a one-on-one with me. We could just chat. No obligation, no commitment, just chat. And so don't parent alone. Click the link below and book a chat with me. And no obligation, confidential, and safe place to talk about you.
Tired, weary, frustrated? What would you be doing if you weren't raising children alone? What's stopping you from living your best life now? On Solo Moms Talk, I discuss with solo mothers the challenges you face raising children alone. So if you're a working solo mom dealing with independent children, insensitive bosses, weight and health issues, or even debt collectors, join us as we discover your path to get and stay healthy, increase your income, and live with joy and purpose. In this battle of life, it's hard to keep your head above the water. So win this fight. I'm pleased to have Amanda Carrasco talking to us today. Welcome, Amanda. I'm happy to have you here.
Thanks for having me. You did just fine.
Sure, no problem. All right, so I want to ask you, how did you become a solo mom?
I was married for about 9 years, and we had a breakdown of trust in our marriage. So we did have a counselor who was, you know, working with us and trying to overcome the obstacles, you know, and trying to make it work. But it was, yeah, I mean, it was very apparent that there definitely were some trust issues, some communication issues, which are the main pillars of a marriage. You know, if you don't have those, the marriage is not going to work. It's certainly not going to be healthy.
Right.
So we had taken some time apart, you know, to try to sort of work on some of those things. But yeah, it became apparent that they weren't going to be resolved. So I had three kids and I had one on the way. I was 4.5 months pregnant with our fourth child when we separated. And I believe it was about a year later. So my youngest daughter was born when we officially divorced. And our story is a little unique in that, you know, 3 years later, we got remarried again, same guy. Mm-hmm. And we were married for 3 years. And you know, about 2.5 of those years, I would say were good years. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. there was definitely effort in trying to work on some problems and things, you know, and yeah, lots of really happy memories in those 2.5 years. And unfortunately, you know, sometimes things cycle around.
Yeah.
And kind of ended up back in the same situations, the same trust issues, the same things. And so the marriage broke down again. So I technically have been divorced twice, but I only have one ex-husband.
Well, that's one less person to deal with and not, you know, more than one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's good. That's good in that sense.
Yeah.
Well, I am sorry to hear that your marriage didn't work. With the best of efforts from both sides, it seems. So how long ago was the final divorce, and what has been your biggest struggle as a solo mom?
Yeah. Okay. So our first divorce happened in, I believe it was 2009. No, sorry. My daughter was born in 2012. So 2013. Mm-hmm. And then our last one was in 2019.
Okay.
So yeah. And I mean, the first time, it was interesting. The first time that we separated and divorced was physically harder because I was very pregnant. Right. It was winter. I had three younger kids. Like, physically, it was harder just to kind of be capable of doing things. You know, young children are physically demanding. Yeah. They have temper tantrums. They can't help out as much. They can't be reasoned with as well. They're not as logical thinkers at that point. So from that type of a standpoint, it was harder that way.
Yes.
And the second time, the kids were older and I found it more emotionally challenging. And I was trying to minimize it, you know, like, oh, you've been through this before. Won't be as terrible, or you know what I mean?
Right,
like
at the
beginning, I was kind of really in a lot of denial in terms of my own pain and brokenness, you know, over the whole thing falling apart again. Cause I mean, what a redemption story to remarry your ex-husband.
Yeah.
You know, like everyone is so happy and excited, the kids, myself, most of our families, maybe not all of them, but yeah. So it was a great story. And so then to have not a happy ending again, it was more emotionally devastating than I wanted to admit. And it took me a long time to really come to terms with how broken I was at that point, that it had fallen apart again. So I think the biggest challenge the second time was the emotions and going through that.
Right. Yeah. I think it was harder to let go the second time because it meant you had to admit failure and you didn't see, you didn't see it happening a third time.
No. Yeah. That's not a thing. Mm-hmm. This isn't baseball. There's no three strikes. This is like two, you're done. But yeah, it was hard because, you know, then you had the regret, especially because I had remarried him and I had just put my kids through that again. Mm-hmm. And it was my initiative that we got back together, you know, like he was in a different place in life. And I just came to him and said, listen, like, I just need you to know, like, I still love you. I've never stopped loving you. I don't know how to make the marriage work, you know, but I just needed you to know that, like, when I married you the first time, like it was for life. Like, this is what I wanted. I wanted you.
Yeah.
That didn't work out, but that's where I'm at. And I think that was a shock to him. You know, I think that he was thinking, oh, you know, she left me and she has said this isn't working, you know, like, so she's out.
Right.
Even though that wasn't how I felt. And even though I had tried to communicate that to him in words, it was like, I want this to work, but it doesn't work the way it's working. Like, things have to change.
Right. Right.
Right. And so when I came back to him and said, hey, I love you, you know, and put that back. So I had a lot of guilt to work through in terms of my decisions and the pain that I put my kids through, which was worse than anything.
Right.
You know, like, divorce is super hard on kids. Mm-hmm. My kids got it twice and it was my fault. You know, like, that's how it felt.
Yes.
And so that definitely compounded and added to the pain of the marriage breakdown the second time.
Right. Yes, yeah. I can understand that. But you also have to work on, if you haven't gotten rid of it yet, to work on getting rid of the guilt, because there were two adults involved and the decision, you wanted your marriage to work. I mean, who doesn't, right? And so the guilt's not going to do you any good if, you know, if you're still carrying it.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been that long, really. It's just been a year, 2 years, barely. So how has your kids handled it this time around?
They're each individual and unique.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, it's the older ones, they logically understand. You know, we've had a lot of conversation about, you know, why we are where we are. And so they fully understand it. And I think because my youngest daughter was so young, you know, we were so bonded.
Mm-hmm.
She, I mean, there's no question that she's had pain throughout this process, but she's handled it a bit differently. It's my youngest son that definitely struggles the most out of all the kids and still struggles, you know, like he's still like, I want you guys back together.
Yeah.
You know, his dad has a girlfriend And he had to come to terms with that. And so now he's at a point where he says, okay, it's fine for dad to have a girlfriend. But he just said to me this morning, you know, if he marries her, I'm going to disown him.
Mm.
And so then we had to talk about that and say, okay, but you know, like he's still your dad.
Right.
And life has changed and it doesn't mean he doesn't love you. But you know, it's, yeah. So trying to explain all those things to him, and he's just so hurt.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're different depending on their characters, depending on ages. You know, it's different for each of them.
Yes, different stages of grief, even.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. What a great way to describe yes. that, right? They do, because it's a loss and a death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was reading this book, Oprah Winfrey and someone else wrote it, and it's called What Happened to You, with a question mark. And it's interesting. Their premise is that we look at people and we go, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
But they're saying that's the wrong question. The question should be, what happened to you?
Mm-hmm.
So the first chapter of the book, they talk about kids and going through divorce, and how for children it is literally a death, because their parents to them are one person.
Yes.
But when they divorce, that person's died.
Yeah.
Now there's two separate people, and so they have to go through all of that grieving just like we do.
Yes.
It is literally a death.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a professor one time, he said divorce is worse than death, because the dead person isn't dead.
Right.
And you have to keep dealing with them.
Yes.
You have to keep interacting with
yes.
them.
Yes. So. Yes. Yeah. It definitely is grief, because there is a loss, right? That bond is broken, and it creates a deep loss, you know, emotional and otherwise. So yes, there has to be grieving, and it has to be worked through. And a lot of times we're so angry, we don't get to work through the grief.
Yeah.
And that could last longer than it should, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, wow. So thanks for sharing, and I really appreciate it. What is Amanda grateful for today?
Oh, my goodness. So many thanks. I mean, first of all, I love Jesus, and so I'm grateful for a Savior who looks out for me
Amen.
The whole time and has shown up in my life repeatedly. Like, I would not be where I am without Him. I just mm-hmm. see His fingerprints all over. And so, and obviously my kids, like, they are rock stars, you know, for the adventures that we've gone through, good and bad. And you know, they're amazing kids. Like, you know, they're not out, you know, drinking or incarcerated or in trouble. Like, they are really good kids.
Yes.
My son had a friend over the other day, and he says, I'm going to make us lunch. And she's like, okay. And then he says, what would you like to drink? And he goes, hold on, how much water have you had to drink today?
That's well, so sweet. Yeah.
I know. That's my 17-year-old son.
Aww.
He's great.
Yeah.
So I'm so thankful, you know, for my kids. Like, and I think about moms that have lost children, or I have friends whose kids have health issues
mm-hmm.
or kids whose friends have, you know, gone through the justice system, like just the heartbreaks and how painful that is.
Yes.
You know, I'm super grateful that my kids are great. Like, that's your core as a mom.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
So my core is stable. And so those are the two big ones. And I'm just grateful for opportunities, you know, I mean, things like connecting with you and other things that are happening in my life that, you know, I don't even know what they're going to fully look like yet,
mm-hmm.
but you can see the potential. You can see something is starting to blossom.
Yes.
And so that anticipation and that excitement, I'm really thankful for just that space,
right.
to be in that space of something's coming, you know?
Aww.
Like, yeah.
Yes, that's cool. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I like asking that question, because it brings out what's important at that moment. Yes.
Right. Yeah,
thank
that's
you.
So true.
All right. Yeah. So do you practice self-care, and what does that look like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I have to. I would not survive without it.
Mm.
My brain is ridiculous, and it works overtime all the time. So I'm currently in law school, and I own a company that I run with an incredible team. I am a single mom with 4 kids, and I also volunteer for some incredible organizations. So there's definitely like a lot on the go, and I cannot navigate all of that without self-care.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be. But because I do all those things, self-care for me is almost like it's in little doses, you know, but it's purposeful and it's intent. If it's, I wake up and I go, okay, this morning I need to take a tea outside. You know, you kind of wake up and take the temperature and like, where are you at? Mm-hmm. So I make some tea and go sit outside. Piano for me is huge. When I was a little girl, I always wanted to learn how to play the piano. And my parents said they couldn't afford to buy a piano and they couldn't afford lessons. So I never got to learn. And then when my kids were older, I bought a keyboard and I paid for them to have lessons on the keyboard. And then we moved into a house where I was able, you know, we had the space. And so I found a free piano. And so I started taking lessons. And so piano for me is huge. I can't play a song perfectly, but I have songs that I love. Fair Elise is my absolute favorite song. And then I also got the teacher. She taught me how to play Shape of You by Ed Sheeran. Oh. I have some classical. Yeah. And so just to sit at the piano for 15 minutes and play out my song.
Yes.
It's just, it's focusing. And then the other thing that COVID really hurt, which sucked, was we have Oxygen Yoga and Fitness right by my house. And I go to the fitness classes. I've learned not to tell people that I go to yoga anymore because then they think that I sit and, do tree poses all the time. But I love the fitness classes because it's an hour that's just me. I can't have my phone. There's nobody texting me, you know, and I walk there and I walk back. And so I have that time to myself to be processing and being in that space. Like, it's hot, so you're sweating out toxins, and it's been so therapeutic. There have been times I've bawled in class.
Wow.
Just getting stuff out, but it's so hot that you're sweating because it's hot, and I'm like, nobody can tell I'm crying. Yeah. This is great. But you get stuff out, So those are definitely really important things to me, you know, but like I say, it's pieces. I don't, you know, I can't take like a week long vacation and recharge. That isn't how my life is right now. Maybe one day.
Yes. I used to be like that too, where it was actually, I never took a vacation. Like for 20 years, I never did. And one day, two things happened and I just snapped. And I just told my boss, I'm going on vacation. And I went away for like 6 days to somewhere I didn't even know, alone. And it was so amazing. And I haven't stopped since. You just have to break out of that spell, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And now, how did you navigate your kids in that space? Like, were they older at that point? Or, you know, because lots of people have different situations. I don't have a space where I could just drop my kids for a week, you know? And I love my kids and we go on vacations together, but that's not a vacation for mom.
Right.
Family vacation. Yes. It's very different. So yeah, how did you navigate that space with your kids as a mom?
They were older. They were teenagers. Yeah. And it took that long for me to actually decide that I needed that. And prior to that, we had gone on the only vacation we went on was on Amtrak. We took Amtrak from Atlanta to Buffalo.
Okay.
And it was just the three of us. They were younger. And it was so nice. I have two younger boys. I have three sons, but the older one is his own man. But the getting away, they were older. But even when they were older, like, you know, mid to late teens, I still had up here that I couldn't leave them. And I still had up here that I couldn't leave the job.
Right.
You know, I just, you know, but when you set your mind to something, you can do it. No matter how you think that you don't have the money or whatever it is you don't have. But I understand when you don't have grandma to drop them off, because I've never had that, or the ex isn't looking at that, you know, not going to want you to run off somewhere on your own because, God forbid, mom takes care of herself, you know. And it's funny you should mention Oxygen, because there's one right across the street from me, and I've been looking into them because I love doing the sauna and I love yoga. And I'm thinking that would be perfect for me. So I'm glad you mentioned it.
I've been really happy, and I'm not paid for this endorsement. I was going three times a week before COVID hit, and I wasn't going because I wanted to lose weight. I went because I wanted to be healthy. That was my goal. Right? I knew, like, I needed physical fitness incorporated. So I was going three times a week, and I did that for months, and I didn't lose a ton of weight, but my body shape changed, and I noticed it and I felt it. My clothes fit differently. And I was like, oh, this is great. And I've never had a lot of negative self-image. You know, I mean, there's a little like, oh, I wish the tummy was a little flatter, you know, little things, but not something major.
Yeah.
But still, when it was shifted, like, I was like, oh, I really feel comfortable in my skin.
Feel better, you know? Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then COVID hit, and I mean, that was just like the worst place to be, right? And I hated room perspiring.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that was not an option. And, you know, with our cases being so low where I live right now, which is great. And so, you know, we've been able to open that back up. And so I've been going, this is week 4 of 6 days a week.
Oh,
because it's same thing. Like a lot of people did the COVID 15 or the COVID 30 or 45. Mm-hmm. I didn't gain a lot of weight through COVID, but my body shape changed.
Okay, right.
Yeah. And I just went, well, this is the way it is right now. And my focus was on school. And I just, and I literally was like, okay, when I get to the end of law school, my body's coming back, you know? And so I have 2 exams now in a month and a week. And so I thought, you know what, we're getting close and I really want to do this. It's open back up. And so I've been going every day, you know, or 6 days a week for the last 4 weeks. And I'm noticing it. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Change. Yeah. Yeah.
It's coming back.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm really glad that you, even with you have law school, I can't imagine how tough that might be. You have 4 children, no matter their age, they're still your children. And you're running a business.
I do. I own a company. Yeah. I've owned it for 12 years. So it's something I know very well.
Okay. But still, and you're running a home. So, you know, you're very, very busy, but I commend you for taking care of yourself and not make excuses for why you can't do that, because we do make excuses for why we can't take care of us. So
no, but like I say, like I can't do the things that I do without that, you know, and like I say, like taking that hour out and going and clearing my mind. Sometimes I'm laying on the mat and I'll be able to process through things.
Mm-hmm.
But had I been home and my phone going off and my kids yelling or something, you know, like I can't make it through.
Yes.
The brain bandwidth is just not computing.
Mm-hmm.
But taking that time out just really clarifies, it kind of declutters the brain.
Yes.
So that when I come back to stuff, I can really focus. And, you know, when I come back and, you know, there's issues with the kids or something, I can remain calm and I can stay connected and go, okay, here's how we're going to handle this, instead of like snapping.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That can be really hard because we're like, I can't stop. And then we're, you know, snapping at our kids and overreacting or, you know, like all that kind of stuff. It happens.
Yes.
Right? So
yes,
we think I don't have time for self-care, but you'll actually be a better parent and a better person if you do.
Absolutely.
Right? So, I can't do the things that I do without taking that time. And it doesn't have to be a day or a week.
No.
You know, like my 15 minutes of piano, my half hour of a tea in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, just take small things. If that's all you got, at least start there.
Yeah. I have one after maybe 4 or 5 years of working 12-hour days, sitting at a desk and worrying about my teenage boys. I got to a point where my brain was foggy. But mm-hmm. What I discovered was I was running for the bus one morning and my joints wouldn't move because I did this, got up early in the morning, wasn't sleeping at night, got up early in the morning, went to work. I was at work at 6 and I'm leaving work at 6, 7, 8, 9 on the subway mm-hmm. back home, crash, you know, over and mm-hmm. over and over again. And I'm like, there's something wrong. My body won't move. Mm-hmm. And I started to walk. I love walking, found the park, walked the neighborhood. And, you know, between the sunshine and walking and the mental clarity, you don't need a lot sometimes. That really helped me to push through whatever fog, physical and mental fog was going on with me, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny you said your joints wouldn't move. It's like your body was telling you.
Yeah.
Like you're going to break
yeah.
if you don't make a change.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, your body will tell you,
like, one way or another, it will.
Yeah. It really will.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So I really enjoyed talking to you. And I should mention that Amanda and I just met. We met through a mutual acquaintance. I'm very grateful for the opportunity to talk to you. We live not far from each other. I recognize that maybe 30 minutes. So it would have been good to meet. Maybe one day we could. But in the meantime, I'm going to ask you a question I've not asked a guest before. What is the one secret you could share with us today?
Okay, so I think it's almost like an epiphany, perhaps more than a secret. And it came to me this week, though. And I mean, it's hard, you know, like whatever your life is like, getting divorced is hard. Mm-hmm. And being a single mom is hard. Even with good kids, you know, it's hard. And this week, I ran into some old friends. They came and actually helped me. I had one of those like, hey, I need a truck. And I posted on Facebook, who can help me? And so people that I haven't seen in person for years, they came and helped and moved this cabinet that I had gotten, you know, stuck, not fitting in my vehicle. So while we were talking, though, she said to me, you know, Amanda, you're not just surviving, like you're thriving.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought a lot about that because I thought, well, what does that really look like? Because, yeah, I do a lot of stuff, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like people can be financially successful and they're not successful in life.
Right.
You know? So I thought about, what does it mean to thrive? What does that look like? And so I decided there were three criteria. And the first one was sort of like knowing who you are and what your values are and making decisions according to those values. And so that took a long time and it was really hard. And especially after my first divorce, it was like, okay, who am I? Mm-hmm, you know, like mm-hmm. I'm not just a mom. I'm not just a wife and I'm not even a wife anymore. So who am I? And it was figuring myself out. So, and I had an amazing counselor, which I super credit. I love counselors.
Yeah.
And I've seen him. I mean, that was 11 years ago that I started seeing him when my marriage broke down because I needed help. I needed to figure things out and I couldn't do it on my own. So he helped me figure out like what my values were. And he said, you know, you made these decisions because not making those decisions would go against your values. And he said, when you make decisions that go against your values, like you're going to lose yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you won't know who you are. So thriving means knowing who you are, being confident in that and making decisions according to that, because we're not always going to make decisions that people like, you know? And yeah. So you've got to know that whether you like this decision or not, I know this is true to who I am. And it's a decision that I have to make and I have to live with. You know, so that was number one. And then number two was having a good community, you know, and so I had my counselor as a really great professional resource, but I do have a lot of great friends that I consider family, you know, people that I confide in, but also people that hold my feet to the fire. So there are people that will call me on my stuff. It doesn't benefit you to have just a bunch of like yes men
right.
around you. Everything you do is great.
Yeah.
You're never going to grow. You're never going to get better when you do that.
True.
So having that strong community support is really important. Having people that you do have fun with and that kind of thing, but they'll call you out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that was number two. And then number three was, you know, we all have challenges in our life. And so thriving is being able to find the meaning in those challenges.
Mm.
You know, yeah, there's not a single person that doesn't have challenges.
Right.
And so, you know, has what I've gone through, has what I'm facing now, does it have a purpose? Can it be used in ways? And this is where I say, like, I feel like I'm really kind of coming into things right now. Things are starting to blossom because I'm really seeing that happen. I'm seeing, you know, the pain that I've gone through be used and be able to impact people's lives mm-hmm. in different ways. And so that's huge.
Yes.
When your pain has a purpose, that is like life transforming. It's
yes.
like healing
yes.
and being able to go forward. So that for me was thriving. And that was like a recent, you know, revelation to me. And I thought if we could all maybe understand that, because thriving seems like you've got it all together all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're successful financially, you're successful in your job, you know, you're great. And I'm like, oh man, there are days I fall apart.
Yeah.
You know, there are days that I'm not okay.
Yes.
But when I'm not okay, I know who to call. I know what to do, you know, and I can get back on track.
Yes.
So that's more important. But especially as moms, like I have some amazing moms, you know, that I call friends, and we're all just so hard on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm not a good mom. I'm failing here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, you are thriving.
Yes.
It doesn't mean you get it right all the time. It doesn't mean you fall apart. You can still be thriving and fall apart. You can still be thriving and not be a perfect mom.
Yeah.
You really can.
Definitely. You know? Yes.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I really like that. And I like that last one because struggles, we always see struggles and challenges as a negative thing. And it's not necessarily a negative thing, especially when Jesus is our savior, right? If we could look at it in a way, look, as you said, into it. What's happening? Why is it happening? Can I learn something from this? Mm. Yeah. So I appreciate you sharing that. I like that. I really do.
It matters because, you know, we all have struggles. We've all been hurt, right? In various ways, wherever it is. And as single moms, we've obviously been hurt in a relationship.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what do we do with that? Is that for nothing? Or can that be used for something?
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Thank you. Now, can you tell us about your business and tell us how we could get in touch with you?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
So I own a homestay company, which a lot of people go, what is that? So we work with international students that come to Canada, and the majority of our students are high school students, and they attend local schools. And so what we do is we do the matching. So we find the host families for the students to come and live with.
Okay.
And it's a paid position. So the host families are paid to host the students. And we're just looking for families who are willing to like open their homes, open their hearts, you know, learn from each other. Because sometimes you think, oh, these kids are coming here to learn. But that's never what happens. Mm-hmm, you know, we learn from each other.
Yes.
Some of our families are never going to be able to travel to the countries that our kids come from, but they can learn from them because they're here and they're in their home. And you talk about how things are different, what different foods you have, you know, what's culturally okay here and not culturally okay there.
Yeah.
So it benefits our school districts. It adds finances to budgets, but also the kids are then, you know, in a diverse classroom, you know, and you've got different perspectives. And especially like in say a class of like social justice.
Yeah.
When you've got kids coming from different, you know, social, political backgrounds, you know, the conversation and the ideas that can develop from that are pretty huge. So that's what our team does. And we work with those students and the families. We provide some activities for them. And working with teenagers can definitely have its challenges. You know, any moms of teens are going to give me an amen on that one, right? But it also can be amazingly rewarding. You know, some of the bonds that we've created, being able to step into a young person's life as they're on their journey and see that you've contributed. The kids do not go home the same.
Like
they come and they go back different. So the honor that it is to be able to be a part of their lives in that way is very significant. And I have an amazing team that work with me. And, you know, obviously COVID had a huge impact on our business.
Right.
And I used to laugh and joke and say, you know, the only thing that's really going to shut us down is if they close the border. They'll never close the border. I should never
say never. Yeah.
So that being said, though, I mean, we're up and running. We are having our largest intake in September. And part of that is because some other countries are closed. Canada is not closed. There are certain parameters for students to come. And we had 40 students come in January. They came safely. They came adhering to protocols. And it was really successful. Host families were really happy. The students were really happy. So it was great. So we're excited about like having our biggest fall ever. And so, yeah, so our website is harmonyhomestay.com.
Okay.
And there's lots of information there. Yeah. About hosting. There's an application form for families that want to, you know, fill that out and be a part of the Harmony Homestay family and, be a part of that experience. We used to have short-term groups and we will again one day, but right now we have long-term students. And so families that have an extra spare bedroom and, you know, want to have a new family member that comes in, the kids are semi-independent. Like they do need a family. This isn't a roommate situation, right?
Yeah.
So they do need a family. They're looking for that, but And our short-term students, because they're here for sometimes a week or 2 weeks, I know with me and my family, we'd sometimes like bunk up my kids and have our short-term students, you know, in one of my daughter's rooms or one of my son's rooms or something like that, you know, for the short-term. So, and it's been great. Like my kids have learned so much and had so much experience and tried so many different foods. You know, the kids love doing origami when we have Japanese students. You know, there's just been all kinds of really great experiences that we've shared just by opening our home, you know, to someone else.
So it's been neat. Oh, wow. That is a nice, that's a really good business model. And I think the personal satisfaction has to be overwhelming, right? Very good, in a good way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. And even with our host families, you know, like we're building community and being able to connect and speak into people's lives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like it gets very personal, you know, like we are involved with their lives, we're involved with their homes. And I had a host mom call me once and she said, you know, can single parents host? Mm-hmm. And I said, yes, absolutely. They can. There's no problem. And because I had a bit of a relationship with her, I asked her, I said, how's your marriage doing? Mm-hmm. And she said, it's not good. Mm. I said, okay, do you want to talk about that? Are you doing okay? Like how, you know, so it's not even just about the students. It's about building community and families that are getting to know each other in the same neighborhoods because they're both hosting. And so it's been really cool to see the community that's built here, you know, in Canada because of that.
Yeah.
So it's really cool the way that this, you know, builds relationships.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I imagine when I was very, very young, I went to boarding school and I boarded at somebody's home and we met other kids from different areas of the country. And yeah, so I've experienced the other end of it. So yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, cool. Now, before I let you go, I always want to ask, what do you have to offer a solo mom today? Who's going through something, one piece of advice that you would give?
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is never give up. There were days that I just felt like I couldn't get out of bed, you know, like just crying or overwhelmed or hurt in pain, you know, like, and just being like, I just want to give up. And in that moment, you know, I've worked on my self-talk, you know, because I think that's one thing too, that especially comes from a relationship breakdown is the negative self-talk. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not lovable. You're not worthy. That's why he's not with you. Mm-hmm. He's not choosing you. And you know what I mean? Like all those things, right? So, having to work through that and saying, no, like my worth is not dependent on whether he chooses me or not, you know? So my self-talk in those moments when I'm overwhelmed is starting to sound like, you can do this, you know, and be nice to yourself.
Yes.
That's something I repeat over and over to myself is be nice to yourself. I notice, you know, like when I start to not feel good or struggle, I just be nice. You know, like just be nice through this time. Get through it.
Yes.
You know, like there's going to be different days. And for sure, when I had little kids, it was so hard and I was exhausted all the time, you know, and it did get better. I say that to some of my girlfriends that have younger ones too, that are single parenting. And I said, just hold tight, mama. Don't give up.
Yeah.
Like, just be nice to yourself in this moment. Yeah. I've got two teens now, two that are not teens yet. But I am really loving these teen years. You know, there's days where I'm like, you guys, I'm running behind and I got this and that. You know, can you help with dinner? Can you peel potatoes? Can you do this? And they're like, sure.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll help us. And we communicate with each other. And it's a different level.
Yes.
You know, like, and they will help with the younger ones. Like if I say, I've got to go out or I've got to do this.
Yes.
So making it to the teen years, which I know a lot of people are like, oh, the teen years are terrible. They don't have to be.
Mm-mm.
You know, stay connected with your kids. That's a huge thing.
Yes.
Is staying connected with them.
Yes.
And yeah, it gets better. Just one foot in front of the other. Be nice to yourself.
Yes, for sure. Thank you. Thank you, Amanda, for talking to us today. I really appreciate you.
No problem. Thanks for having me. This is such an honor. It's exciting to meet you and connect with you.
Yes, sure. Studies show building healthy connections help you live longer. With that in mind, join Solo Moms Connect monthly meetup. It's a safe place where you can get your questions answered, connect with moms just like you, and learn about topics you have an interest in. Click the link below and join our next meetup on Thursday, September 23rd at 6 p.m. Eastern. We have a special guest who will tell you all you want to know about educating your kids no matter their age. So click the link below and sign up now.
Remember, you're not alone and you don't have to parent in silence. Hello, solo moms. As a solo mom of three adult sons, I understand the challenges you face on a daily basis. As a mentor, my mission is to help you shift your mindset and empower you to take control of your life, to see yourself as God sees you. I know that unresolved trauma can be a heavy burden to carry, and parenting alone can be a lonely journey, but it doesn't have to be that way. I want you to know that you are not alone. You have the strength and resilience to overcome your challenges and create the life you desire. I want to help you to make the effort to tackle unresolved trauma and change your perspective so you can live the life you deserve. I offer complimentary consultation where we can discuss how to move forward, create a plan to help you heal and empower you. You can schedule a consultation by emailing me at jen@jrosemarie.com or by calling +1 917 994 1329 or schedule a consultation with the link below. I am here for you and I want to help you take the first step towards healing and empowerment. Don't let unresolved trauma hold you back any longer. Don't parent in silence. So take action today and let's work together to empower you to live the life you desire.